Greetings, fans, listeners to Maple Leaf Man. Here we are with a podcast titled, I think I'll call it Radio Days. Radio was much bigger than TV back in the day. And in the 50s and 60s, I don't even know if we had a TV for most of my early childhood, my preschool childhood. But we certainly had radios, and we would listen to the CBC. I think that was the only station we could get in the daytime, and the local radio station, but they played different kind of music, music that wasn't to our liking. And in the evening, my sister would come home from school. I remember when she was in high school, she'd come home from school, have a sleep, I don't know why. And then she'd sit up till midnight to do her homework, and she'd have the radio blaring in her room. And we would be serenaded to rock and roll by different 50s and 60s groups and single singers. And the station she listened to was WABC in New York with Cousin Brucey. And at that time, I heard he was making $100,000 a year. And in the 50s and 60s, that would have been an astronomical salary. And we'd hear, you know, Raceway Park and all the ads. That was the station that she listened to, but I could get on my own radio, other than the fights with Cassius Clay, which I used to listen to late at night on the Sony transistor radio my grandmother had gotten me. I think it was a 5-transistor, 7-transistor radio. It was very cool. I still have it, and I believe it still works. Listen to the Cassius Clay fights until late at night. And then I don't know if I listened to him after he became Muhammad Ali, but the Cassius Clay fights were fantastic. We were all behind him. We all liked him and thought he was going to be the world champion, which he was. I would listen to WCFL in Chicago. We would get WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia. I remember what I used to do, and this is going to sound as boring as hell, but it was something that filled my time on the weekends. My dad had a book, a radio electronics book, and it had all the call letters of all the stations all across North America. I think it was North America, maybe the States and Canada, who knows. And I would slowly go across the dial, stopping at every station that I could hit. And of course, at that time, it was all AM. And AM would travel much farther than FM, so we could pick up stations from all over the place. And I would wait until they gave their call letters, you know, WCFL or WWVA or WABC, whatever. I remember one time, one in Boston, too, that we used to listen to with Wolfman Jack. Anyway, and if I heard a station that I hadn't heard before, I'd mark it off in the book. Now, that is how I spent my Saturday nights. Sunday night was school night, so of course there was homework, but Saturday night was a free night, and I'd zip away across the dial. It wasn't actually zipping, it was going slow. And we had, at that time, the American stations overwhelmed the Canadian stations. We had to turn our power down at night, so we couldn't get any of the local channels. They would just come in very faintly, even though they were like 12 miles away. But here we could get, you know, stations that were 700 miles away from New York City and Chicago, which is even farther. But we couldn't get our own stations, which were only 12 miles away. Hopefully that's been rectified. And in the day of FM, hopefully there's FM stations all over the place that give a much cleaner signal. We had shortwave radio sets too. And we'd zip across the dial on those and pick up foreign languages, what sounded like airplanes, perhaps. And then every now and then we'd hear those crazy streams of numbers, those mysterious spy communication broadcasts of just numbers. And that was kind of spooky to hear that coming out of the ether, these voices, detached voices listing off strings of numbers. We had another station other than the one that was 12 miles away. This one would have been about 30 miles away. And they were, advanced, and they would play rock music. The closest station never played rock music. Strangely enough, the closest station used to play the Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'. And I heard it on that station. I go, well, this is weird, because they never usually play that kind of music. And I think what happened was they played it until they saw what the Mamas and Papas looked like, and they immediately stopped playing it. So I always thought that was very funny. They would play big band music. They would play instrumental. They would play, I guess, people like Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, songs like that. Or not Dean Martin, the other guy. Andy Williams and people. But the station that was 30 miles away would play rock music. And they had a fantastic DJ that came on, I guess, late afternoon, early evening. And he would play new, I don't know if it was rock at that time. What would you call the Buffalo Springfield or even Fleetwood Mac at that time? It wasn't really rock, but he played Buffalo Springfield, and I heard them for the first time from that station. And I also heard Fleetwood Mac. He played Fleetwood Mac endlessly when he discovered them. Or when, I guess when they were getting really big. I don't even know what the name of the album was. But he would play song after song after song from that album. And he had been a big disc jockey in Toronto, Ottawa. And they ended up at this small time station that really wasn't going anywhere, because it was in the middle of nowhere. Perhaps he was broadcasting from that town to Ottawa, which would have given him a bigger audience. And the other station was CFRA in Ottawa, and that was 60 miles away. But the problem with that, it was a much more powerful station, but the problem with that, it didn't come across as clear as the American stations. There was static, there was interference. It was it's a real shame, because the Canadian stations played different kind of music. Sometimes they played French Canadian music from Quebec, Robert Charlebois, people like that. But we never really got to hear them, because the stations were so weak compared to the American stations. CBC had, I guess, farm reports. They'd talk about, you know, pork prices or beef prices and things like that, on the hoof or off the hoof, I guess. They also had this farm family, the Craigs, which I remember they'd play it. It was like at noon, because I'd be in the house having my lunch, preparing for my afternoon nap. I always had to take an afternoon nap up until the time I was maybe, oh, I don't know, and I guess until I went to school. But that, it's as clear as a bell. I mean, I have memories from when I was 3, 4, and 5 that are clear as a bell. And used to listen to the Craigs. And then at 1 o'clock, when I was, you know, usually lying in bed, not sleeping, they would play the time tone. They, you know, at the sound of the tone, the time will be 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time. Believe it or not, they still play that every day on CBC, and it's a way to set your watch to the correct time, I guess, from the National Observatory or something like that in Ottawa. It's something like that. And everybody sets their watches to 1 p.m. That's about it, except we got a whole bunch of records one time from the station. And I can still remember, this is a crazy, I guess they would, I don't, there wasn't, it was kind of a pollution thing, but I mean, we had fun doing it. We had boxes and boxes of records that were just terrible, terribles. And they were 78 records, the kind that were very, very brittle, but, and they only had one song each side, and they would play at 78 RPM. So if you don't know anything about record players and things like that, this won't make much sense, but we'd take the records and we'd fling them like frisbees from the side of the house all the way across. Now, if you heard the first podcast, you'll know what I mean. Across the giggle hay, and they'd end up in the tree line at the end of the field. And I guess they're still there, little bits and pieces of 78 RPM records. And that was how we got rid of. I think we picked out the best ones. I know there was a Caruso Records that we had, which are worth nothing. Mario Lanza, probably Patti Page and Rosemary Clooney Records, things like that. And we even when we played them, we had a number of record players, but. We weren't really interested in the, as a family. I mean, I mean, it wasn't me and my brother and sister throwing them. My dad was throwing them too. I don't know how we got them. Maybe pulled them out of a dump, because we used to pull things out of the dump that looked decent. That's where all my bicycles came from. That's how I learned. That'll be another podcast at some point, but that's where all the pieces to my bikes came from. Somebody would throw out a bike and my dad would bring it home, and I'd take the pedals off, or I'd take the frame off and build my own bicycle. And they were all one-speed bikes, of course, well, two-speed uphill, downhill. But all right, so that's it. That's my memories of radio. And I had another memory of the previous episode was about dentists and teeth. And I thought about something afterwards that made me, it'll disgust you, but. It was true. Some of the kids actually had green teeth. I guess they didn't brush their teeth at all. They just didn't brush. So they had all this green, it wasn't decay. It was like a film or some kind of thing on their teeth. And there was one family in particular where all the kids had it. And I believe I saw it on other kids too. Now, some of the kids obviously had cavities, but they didn't have the green teeth. There was one girl who was very, very slender, and I swear I mean, even at that time, I thought she ate sugar all the time because every single one of her teeth was decayed. Must have been incredibly painful, but she was like that all the way into high school too. Sad stuff, eh? And there was poverty all around us, and that's the way it was back in the day. Nobody was really rich, and everybody was concerned about getting food to eat and getting transportation and putting clothes on their kids, and I guess teeth came second. Anyway, that's it. Family memories of radio days. And make some comment if you happen to come across this podcast. We're on Stitcher and iTunes now, and I don't know where else to go with it. Maybe Google somehow, but I don't know if anybody uses Google to get podcasts. Anyway, make a comment if you'd like, and thanks for listening. Maple Leaf Man, over and out.